Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I want to welcome you to our show today. We're going to be talking about the courage to awaken your inner well-being. What the heck is that, right? Well, some of you have well-being all the time. You know what it is. But some of you are kind of stressed out and worried about the future and concerned what's going to happen to your income or your family or your friends. You're in that space. And some of you have a real balanced life, and others have a life that's kind of chaotic, right? Things are happening all the time, and you feel out of control. Well, today, this show is dedicated to both sides of the coin. If you are already balanced and feeling in harmony, great. We're going to give you some reinforcement and some tools to uplift the way you are right now to even greater levels of harmony and peace. And for those of you that are feeling stressed, worn out, burnout, ready to maybe even hopeless, ready to quit, we're going to bring some amazing wisdom to the table for you today so that you have an understanding of what are the specific steps that you can do to really start feeling empowered, feeling having a sense of peace, a sense of harmony within you. Doesn't that sound cool? Well, I hope you're saying yes. So I am going to take a quick break. But before I do, I want to just give a shout out to a couple of our networks out there. I want to say thank you, UK Health Radio Network, who has just created a new contract that we're going to have potentially 185 million new viewers that are in India and some of the countries we're just starting to get into. So UK Health, thank you for that. Pizzazz TV, we're excited to be part of your network. Thank you. Flix TV, thank you. Podopolis, thank you. Who else? Oh, there's so many. E360 TV, thank you so much for all you do. And also AM/FM 247 and BBS Radio. We want to thank all of you. There's so many more of you, and I will thank you as we move along in the next shows coming later in the year. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'm going to have a very special guest, and we're going to be talking about how you can up-level your life.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers. This free book reveals little-known secrets about annuity strategies that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. Call right now for your free book, and as a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report, both absolutely free, for calling Annuity General today.
Call 800-510-0470.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call now.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar 4 more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. Not only can a CGM immediately reduce pain, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. We'll also provide free shipping of your new CGM, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. If you are testing your blood sugar 4 more times per day and injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call now and learn how to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Hi, JJ is back because this is important. Do you know if your Medicare Advantage plan benefits are changing this year? Are your costs and copays going up? Is your doctor still covered? During the annual enrollment period, you can call to find out all the changes to your coverage. Plus, see if you're eligible for a plan with the benefit that adds money back to your Social Security check every month. AEP has a deadline, so don't delay. Call now.
I called to find a plan with lower copays and more dental coverage.
I called to see if my zip code has a plan with the benefit that adds money back to my Social Security check.
I called to make sure my doctors are still in my plan.
Extra benefits, extra money. Dynamite! AEP has a deadline, so don't delay. Call now.
Call 1-800-957-1821. That's 1-800-957-1821 now.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
See the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. That's what my guest does here, Elizabeth Bishop. So we're glad to have you back on the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Ken. It's really great to be back and to spend some time with you.
Oh, my gosh. Well, our last time we were together, I got so many accolades from my listeners about you. So we're having you back. So for those of you that don't know Elizabeth, she is the author of Conscious Service, 10 Ways to Reclaim Your Calling, Move Beyond Burnout, and Make a Difference Without Sacrificing Yourself. She's also the creator of the Conscious Service Approach. It's a research-based set of principles designed to enhance both the experience of service providers and the quality of service they offer, and so much more. All right. Wow. Okay. Elizabeth, you know, for our audience that doesn't, that don't know you, how'd you get involved in the work that you're doing today?
Oh boy. From a very early age, I always sort of had this sense of calling into the kind of work that I wanted to do. I think originally I thought I would be a teacher, you know, little girl playing in the basement with the chalkboard and the stuffed animals and those things. And I loved school. And then when I was a teenager, I read a book about a teacher, actually, who was working with a young girl who had different learning disabilities, different challenges. And I knew right then that I wanted to go into that kind of work. And so I went into developmental services and then brain injury, rehabilitation, mental health work, and then also in adult education. So I've been really blessed to work with amazing groups of learners over the years, people who are also going into human services work. And that's what led me here. But I think from a personal perspective, you know, and I think a lot of service providers can relate to this too, that original call, it was probably about 30 years ago, I caught myself just sort of getting through the day. I was chanting, I just have to get through the day, just get me to 4:30, you know. And I realized I was really far away from that sense of being called and my original inspiration. And that was the beginning of the work that I'm doing now. Mm.
Well, you know, there are people on the planet that wake up and they love what they do. They love the flowers outside their door. They love their car. They love their house. They love their life. They love their relationships. They love it all. But yes, not everybody is there. There are a bunch of people right now, especially what's going on in our economy resets, with the war, with the health issues. There's a lot of stress, overwhelm, anxiety, and uncertainty out in the workplace. So With your work, how important is like joy and love? Let's just start there.
To me, such a big deal. And that's something that's really emerged in the last couple of years for me, that at the center of well-being is that experience of joy and fulfillment. And that really aligned for me as well as a service provider, because I think quite often we're very much geared towards giving to other people. We're hardwired to give, have challenges sometimes in being able to receive and being able to replenish. And we get really disconnected. Like that was the experience I had that I just described, disconnected from my own sense of joy and fulfillment. But it acts as such a barometer. Like I know that for me, that I'm doing what I'm meant to do, and I'm where I feel I belong, and contributing in a meaningful way for me when I tune into that sense of joy and fulfillment. And it also tells me about, you know, my own level of well-being in the moment. So I think it's entirely central to well-being. And I think joy is an expression of love. So I see that connection there as well.
Well, you know, your work is around, you know, helping service providers, you know, helping them to really provide greatness. Yeah. But one of the challenges with service providers is a lot of times they're overgivers. They overgive, and which creates stress and burnout and worry and a lot of other things. What's your solution to that?
Well, for me, the turning point for me, and something that I know I talk with a lot of people about, is the experience of being self-connected. So really tuning in to our own internal energy. And, you know, Ken and I, an intention setting practice before we started this broadcast. And that's something that I do at the beginning of all of my classes and webinars and workshops with groups of people as well, to just set the intentional energy. And the other piece I think that's important that goes along with being self-connected and kind of in tune with what's happening for us internally is to become self-responsive, and being able to respond to ourselves in the moment and use those opportunities to really tune into our energy and our thoughts and our sensations and be able to respond with love to what's happening internally.
Well, there's self-responsive and then there's self-reactive, right?
Yes.
I mean, a lot of people are just reacting, right? They're reacting. Yeah. You know, somebody says something and they react. Somebody doesn't say anything and they react.
Yes.
How do we get into self-responsive versus self-reacting?
Well, and I like to think of it too in terms of self-responsive versus self-abandoning. Hmm. So I feel like sometimes when we have challenging feelings or thoughts or sensations or emotions, one of our first sort of responses or reactions, maybe better said, Ken, is to get away from it. We want to numb it. We want to not think about it. We want to put it on the shelf. And for people who go into, you know, service provision with other human beings, that's kind of they're encouraged to do that. You know, so people hear that leave home at home, leave work at work kind of idea. And I've come to realize over 40 some odd years now in this kind of work that that's actually impossible. What we want to do is integrate who we are personally with what we're doing professionally and how we serve in the world. And that can be traditionally and professionally, or it can be just with our, you know, with our loved ones or people that we meet on the street.
Right. Well, listen, I got to take a break, but when we get back, I want to talk about well-being in the workplace. This is a big issue right now. You know, we've got a lot of people over the last couple of years that have left their jobs. We have 1 in 5 people right now saying they're going to leave their job. So we'll discuss this when we get back to break here.
Attention cancer victims who use the weed killer Roundup. A federal jury unanimously found that Monsanto's popular weed killer Roundup was a substantial factor in causing cancer. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. If you or someone you love used Roundup and were diagnosed with cancer, call the number on your screen now. Don't wait. There may be time deadlines to file a claim.
Call 800-506-2151. That's 800-506-2151.
Do you listen to the TV on high volume or have trouble hearing conversations? Then you would benefit from hearing aids. Don't waste thousands on expensive hearing aids when you can get Nano's revolutionary technology just $347. Don't be fooled by higher-priced hearing aids. The CIC Recharge is a true hearing aid, not an amplifier. With rechargeable technology, many customers say is superior to more expensive models. Call now and get not one, but two Nano hearing aids for just $347. Plus, we'll add a portable charging dock and ship your order absolutely free. The CIC Recharge has a tiny in-the-ear canal design that is nearly invisible. Why keep missing out on important conversations or waste thousands of dollars? Call and get two CIC Recharge hearing aids for only $347 and free shipping. Call now.
800-817-7419. Again, that's 800-817-7419.
Imagine, this is your money, and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. Guess what? They want your money, and they can take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter right over here that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash, and we're going to take it from you right now. So what do? You fight back by letting our team of experts work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And hey, we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws, and we'll fight really hard to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket. 5 minutes of your time right now can save you thousands of dollars. And the best part, it's a free call, so please call right now.
Attention cancer victims who use the weed killer Roundup. A federal jury unanimously found that Monsanto's popular weed killer Roundup was a substantial factor in causing cancer. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. If you or someone you love used Roundup weed killer and were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call the number on your screen now. The World Health Organization has designated glyphosate, the main ingredient in Roundup weed killer, a probable human carcinogen. Thousands of agriculture workers may have been exposed to serious health risks by using this dangerous product. You may be owed significant financial compensation from the manufacturer. Call and speak to an experienced attorney today for a free consultation. If you don't win, you pay nothing. If you or someone you love used Roundup and were diagnosed with cancer, call the number on your screen now. Don't wait. There may be time deadlines to file a claim.
Call 800-925-7921. That's 800-925-7921.
I've written a new book. It's called The Courage to Change Everything: Daily Strategies and Wisdom to Unlock Your Genius, Your Soul, and to Transform Your Life. So it's daily strategies. I wrote this specifically because over the years I've noticed in my own life and in the lives of my clients that, listen, a little inspiration doesn't get it. A little wisdom doesn't get it. A little action doesn't get it. It's daily, dripping on the mind, dripping on those actions, taking specific focused actions towards your dreams and setting specific goals, right? Goals help us to transform the little self into the possibilities that we have in each of us. All of us are given dreams, and if you're sitting there and you're not manifesting that dream, it's just a little bit of you is chipping away every day that's not happening until you finally wake up and say, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to connect with something greater than myself, my force, my God, my life, my universe, whatever. I don't care what you call it. You tune into that force, and that's what's going to get you to the next level.
All right. Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I'm talking to Elizabeth Bishop, and we are talking about how to awaken your well-being and workplace. All right. Let's go to the workplace, right? Okay. Lots going on in the workplace. With your work in companies, you know, how do we bring a culture of well-being into a company?
Oh my gosh, this is such a great question and such a big piece of work. I actually just had a session this morning with a group that I'm working with in this organization about organizational culture and the qualities of organizational culture that they want to cultivate and how that'll ripple out through the way things are in their organization currently. And it's work that excites me, definitely. But I'll tell you a little bit about this research project that I was co-leading a couple of years ago. So we wanted to look at, well, the ideas of joy and fulfillment being central to well-being, but also look at equity in the workplace and look at how people were experiencing well-being in the workplace. And we were focused mainly on service providers in healthcare or social services organizations. And people had a hard time kind of wrapping their minds and their hearts around the idea of tuning into a sense of joy and fulfillment in their work, because it was such a high stress environment. And quite often, you know, working with people or sitting with people who are, you know, struggling in the moment, or who might be experiencing a lot of despair or sadness in their lives. And how do we stay in tune with that sense of joy and fulfillment as an element of our well-being while we're witnessing that? So I think that's got room for expansion, and I can talk about that in a moment as well. But when we asked people too about how do they experience well-being in the workplace, every example, every single example was an example of well-being outside of the workplace. So it was having days off, mental health days, vacation days, breaks, but nobody was able to identify a practice that they were using right in the moment in their work to feel well or to bolster their wellness in the moment. It was all after the fact or preventative. I found that really mind-blowing.
That is, I don't think I've heard anybody say that. So I think that's profound that you've really identified that. And okay, so if we got people listening from the workplace, they're going, yeah, I relate to that. I don't really feel that well-being in the workplace. How can somebody start to feel good about what they're doing in the workplace? What are some of the steps they can do?
Well, I think that's where the self-responsive piece comes in. And I think just even like we were talking about earlier, the intentional piece. So setting our intentional energy as we're going into our day. And, you know, and reflecting and looking at, well, how did things unfold and what did I learn today? So using questions and curiosity to tap into that, you know, how was I transformed today? What lit me up? Where did I feel that sense of joy and fulfillment in my day communicating with other people? Maybe where was I triggered and what am I learning about that? Because that happens a lot in our human relationships. But I think also finding ways to kind of move with the natural rhythm of the day. So quite often we'll talk about setting intention first thing in the morning and then maybe checking in again before we go to sleep. But there's so many moments between the morning and the night, right? That right. We're not necessarily being present with our own experience and just responding. So even just as simple as going into a conversation with someone and maybe there's some conflict to work through, to set that intention before I go in, you know, how do I hope this goes and how would I like to feel while I'm in this conversation and how can I make myself or help myself feel more comfortable, just even a little percentage more comfortable as I go into something that's a little bit intimidating.
Well, you know, I think there's also practices that we can bring into the corporate environment, you know, such as, you know, when you take a break, you can go and, you know, do some breath work or go into meditation, or you might, you know, bring out one of my books or one of your books and read something inspiring.
Yes.
Uplifts our soul, uplifts our spirit, and reconnects us to that conscious part of ourselves that is not the victim of the work environment. But sometimes feels like the victim of the work environment, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think those are good pieces for us.
Well, I think too, if I can just add, Ken, that I think there's the sort of two things happening at once, right? There's the outside, the reflection that I do outside of the moment, and how that helps me tune into that experience of being self-connected, so that when I'm in a moment where something has happened or triggered me or my energy has shifted, that I can notice that and respond with kindness and love right in the moment. Just even if it's about having an awareness internally that, oh, that pushed my button, or, oh, I feel uneasiness within my being. One of the things that I do with my wonderful group of students that I work with right now, when we set our intentional energy, we create what we're calling an inner oasis, and we describe all the characteristics and qualities that make it an oasis for us personally. And then we talk about how we can center ourselves in that and then continue to move through our day from the place and the energy of that inner oasis. So we don't necessarily have to close our eyes or run down the hall or do any of those things. We can just notice it and tune back into that intentional energy.
Well, I love that. And I think it's not only for the employees or the workers, this is for management and leaders also, because I think there's a responsibility, especially with so many people really questioning their work environments today, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
Questioning, you know, what their purpose is, why they're at work. Why am I working at this job? Why not be over here and do something I love more? Yes. Is there upward mobility in this position for me with my life purpose, with my skills and abilities? You know, people are really questioning today. And I think the old model, my buddy Stephen Covey was on my show not too long ago. He wrote a book called Trust and Inspire, and he talks about the old unconscious model of basically control and command. We tell people what to do, when to do, and how to do it, and then expect them to do it, as opposed to trusting and inspiring them. Mm-hmm. But I think that's on an individual level, not only on a leadership level. You know, I think there's that trust and inspire. We have to do that to ourselves daily. What's your comment on that?
I completely agree. I think it's the integration of the personal and collective. So I think if I'm talking to service providers, for example, as individual service providers, then how are we kind of fortifying ourselves, strengthening ourselves, tuning into what we know brings joy and fulfillment so we can contribute from that place and share what it is that we would like to do? And then how does the leadership and the organizational structure and system create space for that to be received and create opportunity for it to be expressed? Because, I mean, to me, I just imagine if everybody was getting up in the morning, like you were describing, loving life, feeling thrilled about what they were going to be able to do that day and how they were spending their day, engaged in the process, invested, and taking care of themselves, then what kind of systems and culture would we create that way, you know, as individuals?
Well, I believe that we, and I know, it's not a belief, I know we would create amazing places to work where we feel inspired and we feel joyful on a continuous basis. Now, as you and I both know, you know, it's not about, you know, environment is very strong. You know, environment's stronger than a lot of people's willpower, in fact. Mm-hmm. So our outer environments in the workplace are important, but the inner environment is even more important from my point. Right.
Yeah, so, I agree.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, I got to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about your book that's out there, and a little bit more where you see conscious evolution of the workplace going in the next few years. So we'll be right back, and we'll be discussing those things. And my audience, I want to thank you for being here. You know, this is how our show grows. It grows because of you. So please tell your family, friends, and colleagues about the show. You can get all our replays on voicesofcourage.us. And until next time, continue to look for and see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. Till next time. Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I want to welcome you to our show today. We're going to be talking about the courage to awaken your inner well-being. what the heck is that, right? Well, some of you have well-being all the time. You know what it is. But some of you are kind of stressed out and worried about the future and concerned what's going to happen to your income or your family or your friends. You're in that space. And some of you have a real balanced life, and others have a life that's kind of chaotic, right? Things are happening all the time and you feel out of control. Well, today, this show is dedicated to both sides of the coin. If you are already balanced and feeling in harmony, great. We're going to give you some reinforcement and some tools to uplift the way you are right now to even greater levels of harmony and peace. And for those of you that are feeling stressed, worn out, burnout, ready to, like, maybe even hopeless, ready to quit, we're going to bring some amazing wisdom to the table for you today so that you have an understanding of what are the specific steps that you can do to really start feeling empowered, feeling in having a sense of peace, a sense of harmony within you. Doesn't that sound cool? Well, I hope you're saying yes. So I am going to take a quick break. But before I do, I want to just give a shout out to a couple of our networks out there. I want to say thank you, UK Health Radio Network, who has just created a new contract that we're going to have potentially 185 million new viewers that are in India and some of the countries we're just starting to get into. So UK Health, thank you for that. Pizzazz TV, we're excited to be part of your network. Thank you. Flix TV, thank you. Podopolis, thank you. Who else? Oh, there's so many. E360 TV, thank you so much for all you do. And also AMFM 247 and BBS Radio. We want to thank all of you. There's so many more of you, and I will thank you as we move along in the next shows coming later in the year. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'm going to have a very special guest, and we're going to be talking about how you can up-level your life.
Attention cancer victims who use the weed killer Roundup. A federal jury unanimously found that Monsanto's popular weed killer Roundup was a substantial factor in causing cancer. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. If you or someone you love used Roundup and were diagnosed with cancer, call the number on your screen now. Don't wait. There may be time deadlines to file a claim.
Call 800-506-2151. That's 800-506-2151.
Imagine, this is your money, and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. Guess what? They want your money, and they can take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter right over here that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash, and we're going to take it from you right now. So what do? You fight back by letting our team of experts work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And hey, we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws, and we'll fight really hard to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket. 5 minutes of your time right now can save you thousands of dollars. And the best part, it's a free call, so please call right now.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
Well, this is Candy Foster, and if you've just joined us, I want to thank you. I'm talking to Elizabeth Bishop, and we're talking about consciousness in the workplace and how to have better well-being. Before I get there, I want to just mention this. Now, I haven't done this in 6 months, so I'm going to tell you that I have a book out there that I want you to think about buying for yourself and for those that you love. It's called The Courage to Change Everything. It's Daily Strategies and Essential Wisdom to Awaken Your Inner Genius. This book has changed the lives of everybody that has read it. Why? It actually changes you as you start to read the words and start to apply the energy that is in this book. Yet there is wisdom from everybody from Socrates and Plato to Tony Robbins and Stephen Covey and everybody in between. There's amazing wisdom in this book, so that you can start to up-level your life in many ways. So I hope you'll check it out. All right. Back to my guest. All right. So Elizabeth Bishop is here with me. And again, we're talking about consciousness in the workplace and how to really awaken a spirit of peace and harmony within you. Elizabeth, let me start with that latter question I was going to ask you. What do you see, before we get to your book, what do you see like the conscious evolution of the work environment over the next few years? Where do you see it going?
Well, a lot of people call me an eternal optimist, and I'm always convinced that the glass is half full at least. So for me, and I am optimistic that we're at a place right now in our world where more people are, like you were saying, Ken, awakening to the reality that they want to feel differently in their day-to-day work and their vocational pursuits. And I certainly know that the majority of the people that I work with who are would identify as service providers are really wanting to experience their work and their vocation differently. They want to be engaged. They want to feel well in what they're doing. They don't want to overextend themselves anymore. But they're also feeling, I think, a bit at a loss in terms of, like you said, how the environment is functioning at this point. So for me, I see it as a joint effort. I absolutely see the personal and collective well-being as integrated and influencing each other. And I cannot see how a system could shift without the individuals actually driving that shift. And I think that we're poised for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a lot of companies out there in the past have had, they've done the works on their mission. They've done work on their values. You know, unfortunately, they haven't been integrated into the business in such a way that the people that are working there actually are inspired by those values and their mission and really live those values and mission. How do we begin to shift that?
Well, I think you're making a really powerful point that we can talk about these things and think about them, you know, all day long. But and that's a big part of what my work is about, is how do we embody it? So for me, when we do things like intentional energy setting, or we close our eyes for a moment and center in and notice what's going on inside, that's a way of getting familiar with what some of these, you know, say the values that are associated with our missions, what they feel like to be in that, to embody it and be in that state. So what does it feel like to be in a state of love? Talking about it and thinking about it doesn't go too far, but feeling it and being in that and including myself in that kind of energy, it makes it much more likely that I'm also going to act that way and share it organically.
Yeah. You know, when I started down this path 26 years ago, when I started speaking at companies and we talked to them about soft skill sets like, you know, love and harmony and peace, they thought we were kind of crazy. And they come back to us and go, well, how does this really, why is this important for the company? And of course, today we have a lot of science behind that. We have numbers behind that where productivity goes up, employee turnover goes down, you know, work satisfaction goes up, longevity of employees goes up. A lot of that's going on in the workplace today. So I'm just wondering how in the world can a company stay unconscious with all the science that's out there to remain stagnant? I don't get it. Do you?
I know. You know, the only thing that I can think of is that we're still keeping it up here in the intellectual place, because it does require a lot of courage to keep tuning into what's going on in the internal landscape. like to keep touching in on, and to become self-responsive instead of self-abandoning, like we were talking about earlier. I think it's almost like a knee jerk. Well, no, I can't think about that or feel that right now. I've got to put it on the shelf, or I don't want to feel this. So I'm going to go and, you know, have drinks or something, or I'm going to lose myself in TV or other people. And I think that's one of the risks that's really high for service providers, to lose ourselves in other people, because that's kind of the nature in some ways of the work. So it's finding that balance and harmony all the time between what's happening inside of me and how does that inform how I'm
well, you know, up. I find a lot of service providers are empathic. They're empaths. Yes. And they can actually feel what the other person is feeling. They can think, they can hear their thoughts sometimes, you know, what that is. And sometimes they get lost in others, and to have those good boundaries, I think, is really key.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's one of the other pieces that came out of my research too, is something I call the engagement continuum, where engagement is the sweet spot, you know, and whatever that feels like for you, if you were to close your eyes and tune into what does engagement feel like for me? Notice it in your body. What does it sound like? What do you think of? Are there experiences that you've had? And then on one end of the spectrum, we have enmeshment, where now suddenly we're afraid for the other person or the situation. We've lost ourselves in it. We don't know where we end, where they begin. We have to fix it. We're afraid, you know, or the other end, where we become estranged and we're actually kind of angry about what's going on. And, you know, they don't pay me enough for this, and this isn't part of my, you know, that kind of thing. I need to shut down. I've got to protect myself. And it's a natural kind of continuum that I think that we exist on, that's, I think, can be really powerful when it comes to being service providers, that we can always keep moving back into, oh, where did I become disengaged? What's happened here? Because for me, like if we're talking about love, and I think service is an expression of love. I think love sits right beside fear in terms of our experience. So it's very easy to see how the bigger we love, the higher the risk to slip into the fear mode, right? There, it's right there. And how do we notice when we've done that? Because how we respond is going to be very different.
Right. Well, speaking of love, I want to give a shout out to your students that are listening to this right now.
Hi.
There you go. And let's switch gears for a second. You have this amazing book out here right now, Conscious Service. And why did you write this book, first of all? And then, let's start there.
Yeah. So that turning point that I had about 30 years ago, where I was just chanting to get myself through the day, basically at that point, I decided that my one touchstone would be that every choice that I made from there on out would have to have some kind of meaning for me personally. Like I would have to be driven by that. That doesn't mean that it all had meaning overnight, because it didn't. It was a process and a practice. It's been a journey, but it became a sort of a guidepost for me. And I recognized at that time that the spiritual work that I was doing, my own personal growth that I was doing, had full relevance to what I was doing professionally. And that's kind of where it started. So it was quite a process that I've gone through in a variety of ways that ended up leading to the publishing of this book this past year.
And where can people get Conscious Service?
You can pretty much get it anywhere. It's published with Hazelden Publishing, so you can get it directly from them. But it's on Amazon. It's Indigo. You can get it online anywhere. And I've seen it in real life in the bookstore as well. So it's in a few of those Indigo stores.
That's great. And so here's the question I know my audience wants to know before they buy your book. That is, what are the benefits to them? You're right. What are they going to walk away with when they read the book?
Well, I think they're going to walk away with a lot of the different kinds of skills and strategies and mindset curiosities, I suppose, that we've started talking about already today. The book is structured very much, the foundation of it is in the Conscious Service approach, which came out of my research, and which is very fluid and interconnected, really interconnected between the self and the relational space, let's say. And the book is structured the same way, where you can enter anywhere. You don't have to start at the beginning and read through to the end. You can open it as a meditative book if you wanted to, or you could look at the table of contents and jump into a space that feels like it's calling you. And it's written in an invitational way. So the idea is that here's a big process approach umbrella. It's one way of kind of looking at your role as a service provider personally and professionally. And then you decide, you know, I mean, you get to see what kind of insights come up for you as you read the different pieces of the book.
Okay. Well, that's that. You answered it very well. That's awesome. Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, I'm going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about, in fact, I'd like you to define even more for me a conscious service provider as opposed to an unconscious service provider, okay, and how we can move into more understanding of what that really means. So we're going to do that. We'll take a quick break and we'll come right back.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers. This free book reveals little-known secrets about annuity strategies that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. Call right now for your free book, and as a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report, both absolutely free, for calling Annuity General today.
Call 800-510-0470.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. It's your host, Kendi Foster, and we're talking to Elizabeth Bishop. What are we talking about, really? We're talking about consciousness in the workplace. We're talking about creatively bringing love into the workplace and some of those other soft skill sets that may really transform your experience at work from a place of burnout and stressed out and worry and concern to a place of joy and happiness and fulfillment. That's what we're talking about. So it's a big subject, though. You know, I mean, we're just touching on little pieces here that, that can really make a difference. So, all right, I want to backtrack just a little bit. Conscious service provider versus unconscious service provider. How do you define that?
Well, maybe I'll just use myself as an example. So I think, I didn't realize that there were parts of me that were operating in an unconscious kind of way until I had that moment and heard myself. And that, I think that was, space was created for that to happen because of some of the things I was doing outside of the workplace. As I mentioned before the break, the personal growth, the spiritual exploration around things, because I wanted to, I had a desire to want to understand what was happening in my life at that time. And then I saw the relevance to the work pieces for me. I think a big part of my unconsciousness in my work was when I was operating under the idea that I somehow had all of the answers for other people, that I needed to fix other people's situations, that I had to figure that out, that I needed to find ways to compartmentalize myself and leave parts at home and leave other parts at work. I don't think I was well prepared for the inherent role of emotional labor that goes into creating relationship with people. And so I was missing the actual ability to receive all of the wonderful things that were happening in the communications that I was having with people that I provided service to. So I think when I shifted then and started to work with these ideas, well, first of all, I have not been burned out since that time. And that was a good 30 years ago. I've been tired. I've been frustrated, but I've not been burned out. I have a pretty solid awareness of my commitment and the direction that I'm moving. It's been an opportunity to continue to learn about myself, to challenge myself, to get curious, to learn how to love myself, which is an ongoing practice that most of us, have struggles with from time to time. And, And it changed the way that I showed up and related to other people. And I started to be able to see transformation happen, not only like seeking evidence in other people's shifting and changing, but my own transformation. And as I did that, I was able to capture the nuances of things that were happening around me. And everything became different in my role as a service provider.
Oh, wow, I love that. Well, you know, the show is called Voices of Courage, and you are a very courageous voice. As I define courage, courage is it's an energy, it's a power. It's not something that we think about. It's something that we have within all of us. Some people have developed courage and some people have undeveloped courage, but we all have courage, right? What do you see is when somebody comes or you go into the workplace environment and you're working with a group of individuals, where do they have to tune into their courage? What is it that they have to go, oh, it's going to take courage to maybe self-reflect or look at myself, or courage mm-hmm. to stop doing the things I've been doing, or courage to start thinking a different way? What do you find in that environment?
I find that, well, and just even recently here in a recent conversation, that it's sometimes just the courage to believe that things can be different, to open up, especially when there's a lot of dysfunction in organizational space, because I think it's natural, it's human to want to protect ourselves from being, you know, at the mercy of other people. Well, we feel like we have no power in a situation, that if we speak up, that there's going to be punishment, or that we're going to maybe lose our jobs, or, you know, forever kind of at the mercy of other people. So I want to acknowledge that some of our systems have really outdated, destructive practices that don't make it easy for people to step into that space. So I think that that's one of the biggest things that I'm seeing, is the courage that it takes to say, I'm going to create my own inner safety and security. And I'm going to take the step that I have the resources to take today and focus on what's happening for me and my own internal transformation, instead of waiting for other people to change and tell me that it's okay to do it. I think it takes a ton of courage to do that.
I think it takes a ton of courage too. And I think it takes a ton of courage to stop like blaming or, you know, thinking that the other person is causing this. I know people that have gone through 3 marriages and all of a sudden they figured out, oh, it wasn't about them. It was about me. And as soon as they change, now they're in relationship for the rest of their life. Right. Yeah. You know, it's the same thing with companies. It looks the same way. Oh, it's about them. Oh, look what they do. Look at these policies. Oh, it's about this person over here that I can't stand. Yeah. There's always somebody in the company that's a little funky. I don't care where you work, you know, but if you frame it as I can't stand them, as opposed to they're a little annoying, right? It's a different energy.
And if you take it a step further and say, okay, so this behavior annoys me, but now the annoyance belongs to me. Like the button is inside me. And so what's going on there? Because like what you just described, right? Common denominator. We're the common denominator in all of these scenarios. So it's an opportunity when someone pushes at that, quite often unknowingly too. It's not often someone's masterminding this and trying to bug us, right? But when we notice that happens, then we have the opportunity to really get curious about what's going on for me. What's the story I'm telling about that? And how long have I been telling this story? And how can I see it differently? And I think, again, I think it takes courage, but I think there's so much freedom that lies on the other side of that self-responsive, personally responsible behavior.
Boy, isn't that the truth? Well, I'm just going to mention this audience, because we're having this discussion. If you go to kendfoster.com, on the website there is a complimentary release process so that you can let go of your triggers, your traumas, your dramas, your guilt, your shame, your remorse. And so you're not triggered so much in the work environment. Take you about 3 hours to do it. It's my gift to you, kendfoster.com. So awesome. I thought I'd throw that out there. Wonderful. Wow, this is deep. This is a deep conversation, because, you know, once you understand that somebody's, you know, that somebody triggers you, but you're the trigger. Now we get to do the inner work. Well, where did the trigger come from? And, you know, how many times have I been reacting this way, whatever the environment, at home, at work, at play, right? That's deep work.
It is. And I think some of the, you know, sometimes the triggers for service providers can be, you know, say with colleagues or with leaders in the organization, they're triggered because they maybe they feel that they're being underappreciated, undervalued, overlooked, don't have a voice. So there's those kinds of things that happen around self-esteem. And then when we're working with people who are potentially going through challenging situations, which is common, you know, in service provision in those systems, healthcare and social services, we get triggered because some of our old wounds get poked at, right? Or erupt for us. So there's so much wonderful opportunity in those moments for more healing, for more growth, you know, to embrace that. Again, something that takes so much courage. But to me, it's one of the sort of fringe benefits of being a service provider that we don't talk about.
I love it.
It's certainly not a motivation to be a service provider, but it's a benefit.
Exactly. You know, being a business strategist and life coach for 26 years, I've kind of come across a whole bunch of different ways to maybe some of them are temporary fixes, but some of them are, you know, deep work, right? I just gave somebody, you know, the audience what they could do if they want to do a little deep work and really clear some of this stuff, especially before the new year. But, you know, we can also stand back as an observer. And we can, you know, one of the things that I look at, I got it from a guy by the name of Gary, Access Consciousness. Gary something or another. Gary Douglas. And he would just say, you know, when somebody's pushing your buttons, just look at them and just say to yourself, interesting point of view. So you don't have to take it on. It's just another point of view, right?
Exactly. I love that.
And I love that. And the other one I get is be the observer. Stop being the reactor or the responder even. Just be the observer, right? And grow your ears.
Yes. And then let the feelings flow through. We talk a lot about that too. Let the feelings flow through because, again, a natural reaction is, oh, I don't want to feel it. I don't want to feel it. We think it's going to last forever. A colleague of mine and I were just doing a workshop and we were talking about that the science does say, and I don't know where the science comes from, I can't quote anybody, but that when we sit with our emotional energy, it will usually move through in about 90 seconds.
90 seconds.
It might come back, but for that moment, it's about 90 seconds.
Yeah, about 90 seconds moves right through you.
Yeah.
That's a few breaths, you know, what you focus on, you feel. So, you know, if you're focusing on all the things that you don't like, you're going to feel them. I can guarantee it. Anyway, okay, we go on forever.
We're good.
I want to say Dr. Elizabeth, but not quite yet. You will be there, I believe, by next year. Anyway.
Ooh, we'll see.
Let's hold that attention. All right. Now you're working on your thesis, so.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being on our show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. What a blast. I had a great time talking with you again today, Ken. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And my audience, I want to thank you for being here. You know, this is how our show grows. It grows because of you. So please tell your family, friends, and colleagues about the show. You can get all our replays on voicesofcourage.us. And until next time, continue to look for and see the unseeable. Know the unknowable and do the impossible. Till next time.